Thanks, Jill, for leading the hymn. It's a very beautiful song. King David said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, and for he is with me. So the Lord is our good shepherd, and certainly he will lead us through any lows and any valleys of our life, and we will not fear. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity where we can meet together. And we pray that, Lord, there will be time like this that where our ears are open and our hearts are open to you, and where you can speak to us. Lord, do commit this time to your hands. We pray that you will not be wasted, that every minute that we spend here will have value in eternity. So Lord, may you make full use of this time. We pray for those who are still on their way. May you also prepare their hearts, so when they sit down, they are ready to hear you. So Lord, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit be with us today, and will really be moving and working among us. I pray in your precious name. Amen. I thought it's time for me to start another series, and I was thinking, what should I share? And I thought that the series would be something that is easy to remember, so that if I mention it again, that you will remember it straight away. So I think there's nothing easier than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. All right? So today will be 1. So talking about one thing. Okay? So we're going to look at Psalm 27, verse 4. Let's turn to Psalm 27, verse 4. Also a psalm of David. Okay, read together. One thing I have, desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Okay, psalm of David. Now we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. This passage was also mentioned by Eric Wu when he was here recently about Bethany. Our focus here is on Mary. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. Then Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary had chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now we turn to the next passage, which is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. I'm sure this passage is also familiar to those who went to the youth camp recently. Chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing. So David has one thing. Mary has chosen one thing. And Paul has one thing. They all pursue. They all wanting to seek after. They all willing to pay the price despite what other people say. They're even willing to lay down their life for that one thing that they're pursuing of. So both in Psalm, in Luke, and in Philippians, we saw three different people in three different eras. And they all wanting to seek for one thing that they deem to be most important in their life. So David is the one who wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. He wants to inquire or talk to God in His temple. So David is the one who wanted the presence of God. He longed to be in the presence of God day and night. He wanted to draw near to God. He wanted to be able to seek after Him, to behold Him, and to talk to Him. Is that our desire as well? Do we have the same desire that we want to see God, we want to hear God, we want to talk to God every day of our life? Or is it only on Sunday that you thought about God? Oh, it's just time, let's go. And then we may hear some scriptures and sing some songs. And we have done our work. No, I hope not. I hope that every day when you wake up, the first thing that captures your heart is that I need to spend some time with God. I need to talk to Him. See, David was a king. He was a king that could have occupied himself with all sorts of entertainment. Right? David is a musician and he's a good dancer. He could have do a lot of things that entertain himself and kept himself busy. You know, his son Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And what did he do? He had projects, he built gardens, and he had all sorts of construction work going. He has 1,000 concubines and wives, and he has a lot of things to occupy his life with. And yet, at the end of his life, he said, vanity. All is vanity. Despite his being wise, he was foolish. He spent all his time on things that does not last. But David, towards the end of his life, even though the temple was not yet built, and David wanted to build the temple for God, but he was disqualified. His hand had shed too much blood. God did not allow him to build the temple. That one thing that he really wanted, yet God said, you are not qualified to do it. So what did David do? Did he just give up? No. He spent later part of his life, he just spent time preparing for the building of the temple. He prepared the gold, he prepared the silver, he prepared the wood. Much of the gold was from his own personal treasury. He drew up plans, he drew up designs for the temple, and he made everything ready so that his son, Solomon, can build the temple. That was his heart. He wanted to come before God and spend time with God. He is so rich, he could have everything that he wanted, but all he wanted is to come to the temple of God, to behold God, to talk to God, and enjoy God. There was that one thing that captured David's heart, especially towards the end of the last part of his life. But throughout his whole life, we can see that David is someone who really has a simple heart for God. Even though he has failed and made mistakes and even commit terrible sins, and yet his heart is always pure towards God. That is something that we can learn from. That one thing David seeking for, and perhaps could be the one thing that occupy our mind and our heart for much of our days. I remember this illustration is given by a man who specialized in time management. One day he walked into the class and then he has a big glass jar. Then he brought out a basket of rocks and then he filled the jar with rocks. And then until the rocks come to the brim of the glass jar. Then he asked his class, "Is this jar full?" And they all say, "Yeah, it's full, it's full." And they said, "No, it's not full." Then he brought another basket of small pebbles. So he was pouring pebbles in and the pebbles fall into the gaps left by the rocks and nearly fill up to the brim again. Then he asked the class, "Is this full?" Now the class became smarter and said, "Maybe not." It's true. Because he brought out a jar of sand. And then he poured the sand in and shake, shake, shake. And then he poured some more in until the sand come up to the brim. Then he said, "Is this full now?" The class even smarter. "No, I don't think it's full yet." Yeah, he said, "You are right." And then he brought out a jar of water. Then he poured the water in and the water go into the gaps where left by the sand. And really fill everything up to the brim. And then the teacher asked the class, "Now what does this teach you?" One guy at the back said, "It means that doesn't matter how full your life is, you can still squeeze some more things in." And the teacher said, "No. What I'm trying to illustrate to you is that unless you put the big rocks in, there won't be any room for these rocks if you put in the pebbles and the sand and the water in first. So if the big rocks are the important things of your life, if you do not put them in first, then there's no room for them later on. You can fill your life with all the things that you think, oh, this is important, that is important, this is urgent, that is urgent. But the most important thing that should be your priorities. If they are not down first, then there's no room for them anymore." So for David, that one thing that he was seeking for is his rock. So he put that one in first, and everything else of his life will build around it. So is Mary. So is Paul. That rock is what they are seeking for. It's what they deem important. For David, to dwell in the presence of the Lord and to talk to God is the thing that really captured his heart. For Mary, it's nearly the same. So when we were reading in Luke chapter 10, we saw that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their house at Bethany is a place that the Lord, it could maybe it's not their house, maybe someone else's house, it could be Simon the leper, but they were willing to entertain the Lord. And we heard from Eric that to entertain the Lord and his disciples is actually a dangerous business because the Jews are trying to kill them. But Martha opened his house and her house and they welcomed the disciples and the Lord and their friends in. We know that these are all big, burly fishermen and tax collectors and whatnot. So they're all hungry people and Martha will have lots of things to prepare. I'm pretty sure that Mary would have helped her to prepare before Jesus, they all came in. But as soon as Jesus came in and sat down and started talking, Mary just left everything behind and came and sit at Jesus' feet and listened. It's very interesting when you look at the description by Luke. It says that Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, there are many other people who sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. They all listened to what Jesus said, but not too many people heard what he said. Do you know the difference? You could have all been sitting here and you have listened to me, but you may not have heard me. especially if you left this place and straight away you've forgotten everything that I have shared with you, then you have not heard me. You understand? How many of you heard the message last week? Can you remember what Brother Neil was sharing? If you can't remember a single thing from it, means that you have not heard him. There is a difference, isn't it? So Mary heard the Lord Jesus. What the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, she heard them. That's why a few nights before the Passover, a few nights before the betrayal of Jesus by Judas to the hands of the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and soldiers from the high priest, Jesus said that just a few more days will be Passover and the Son of Man will be betrayed and will be killed. He said that to the disciples, but not too many of them took any notice. So they have heard him, but they have not heard him. They have not took what he said to heart. So they did nothing about it. Not Mary. Mary heard what the Lord Jesus said. So Mary went ahead and did something that really puzzles everyone, surprised everyone, even shocked some of the disciples. She took out a pound of ointment, a very precious ointment, sealed in an alabaster box, and then she broke it. Now that ointment could have been worth about a year's wages. And some of the disciples, including Judas, say, "What a waste! This could have been sold, and the money could have been given to the poor." Now we know Judas is not really caring about the poor because he's the one who steals from the money bags, right? He's the one who looks after the money bag from the group, but he's the one who steals from it. His heart is not for the poor. His heart certainly not on Jesus. But for Mary, that is worth it. The Lord Jesus is worth it. She could have been saving that up for her wedding day. She could have been saving that up for one rainy day where she needs money. But for the Lord Jesus, she heard what the Lord Jesus said. And she understood that the Lord Jesus might be leaving them and will not be coming back physically. At least not in his current form. So she did something that surprised all of them. And she broke that box, she poured out the ointment on the Lord Jesus' head and on his feet, and the perfume filled the whole room. So when the disciple was criticizing her, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Leave her alone. For she did this for my burial." And whenever the gospel is preached, what she did must be mentioned in memorial of her. Now, think about this. Whenever the gospel is preached, whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth to save sinners, whenever we preach that message, what this woman did must also be mentioned. Have you made that connection? What was that woman, what did Mary did? That one thing that had captured her heart and willing to offer her all, that must be mentioned. Because, friends and brothers and sisters, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we did not come to him in order to get heaven. We come to him to get him. We come to him to gain him, to love him, and to follow him. Mary understood that. And so Mary demonstrated to us, to all the followers that is to come, Whoever want to follow Jesus must also give their all to Him. At any price. When the Lord Jesus call you to come to Him, you come and you offer your all to Him. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. It is worth Mary to pour out her all, and it is worth for you and I to think about it. It is worth your all, is it worth my all to be poured out for the Lord Jesus? So we learn from Mary that one thing she seeks is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear and listen and heard Him. Let's pray that whenever we come to the Lord, when we open up His Word, when we sit at a message meeting, that we listen to Him. And we listen not for entertainment, but we listen because perhaps that is the moment that God will speak to you through His Word, while you're reading it, or through someone speaking to you. Let us listen to Him, like Mary. Paul understood that. We saw Paul in Philippians chapter 3, and then he said that, not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Okay? We heard in the youth camp that Paul is someone who is all in, right? He's all in for Christ. He's someone who is willing to give his all. Remember what he was like before he became a Christian? He was a persecutor of Christians. He was a Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, that he was under the teaching of Gamaliel, and he is actually prestigious. He's a prestigious Jew with strict upbringings, and he will say he was perfect if he was judged by the law of God. Alright, he's a man with prestigious upbringing and background and knowledge and skill. And when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, everything changed. All that he had ever knew seems to be of no use to him, because he had to come face to face with the true Lord, with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on that road to Damascus. And he had to surrender his life to Him. From then on, Jesus said, I will show him what he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul did suffer. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. I remember one time Paul went to a synagogue. He preached, and then people got angry with him. They took him out of the city. They stoned him. Thinking that he's dead, they left him. And Paul woke up, went to the next city, and went to the next synagogue, and preached again. That is Paul. Because he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. When he said forget about all those things that are behind, what he meant, not just the past failures, but all the past achievements, all the past glory, all the past attainments, he said, I count them as rubbish. I said, I want to press on. There's one thing I'm seeking for. I want to press on towards the goal. I want to press on and gain that prize or the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Or in another version, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that consuming vision of Christ is what driven Paul his whole life until the day he was beheaded by Caesar Nero. He is willing to pay the price of his life. So when we look at the book, the letters, the book of Acts, we see Paul's life is someone who never stopped. Isn't it? If he's not writing letters, he is preaching. If he's not preaching, he is either in jail somewhere, and then when he's in jail with Silas, he was singing, praising God, and then the prison shook, an earthquake, and the doors were open. You know, you can see he's in action all the time. Reading his letters, he remembered a lot of people's names. He remembered names of people in Philippi, in Colossae, in Galatia, and he prayed for them. That is Paul. Christ is the people. He knows that from that vision he saw on the road to Damascus. Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, from that conversation, Paul knew that the people are the people belonging to God, and Christ is in them. When he's persecuting them, he is persecuting Christ. So Paul knew that. So Paul spent the rest of his life serving Christ in the church, serving the people of God, praying for them, encouraging them, building them, until he came to the end of his life. We saw in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, now an old man, in prison, waiting for the final day of judgment to come on earth, not the final day of judgment in heaven. He say, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So that one thing that Paul's heart was captured by Christ, keep pushing him to go on, to press on until this final time, final part of his life where he said, "I'm done. My life is totally poured out like a drink offering." You know, when you pour a drink on the floor, it's gone, isn't it? When you pour a drink out, the water, the liquid will be all sucked up by the ground. You can't get it back into the glass into the glass again. It's poured out means that it is gone. The perfume will pour out on the Lord Jesus' head and on his feet. It is gone. You can't get it back anymore. You can take it back and go and sell it again. No, you can't. It's poured out. It's gone. It's used. Paul is the same. His life has been poured out like that perfume that Mary poured out. It's used. It is enjoyed by the Lord, and it is gone. But it is worth it. And Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And that is really something that I hope all of us can say at the end of our life. What if you could fast forward, just like you press the fast forward key on your remote control, and you can fast forward your life to the last day or the last week of your life? It could be 10 years from now, could be 20 years, could be 30 years, could be 50 years from now, could be tomorrow. We do not know. So what if you could fast forward to the last few days or the last week of your life, and then you have a moment of reflection, and then you'll be able to look back to all the years of your life before that last week. Now, if you have that opportunity and to reflect, will you be able to find one thing in your life that has driven your life to that point? And that one thing, is it anything to do with God? What if you come to the last part of your life and you look back, there was nothing in your life that put God first? I'm sure that you will be shocked. There will be much regret. There will be much sadness. Because you knew that when you cross that last week of your life into eternity, you're going to face God. You're going to give an account to Him to all the things that ever happened in your life. You know, the Bible tells that even every conversation will be judged. If you have never spent time at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him, talking to Him, inquire of Him, like David, like Mary, or even serve the Lord Jesus like Paul did. Of course, none of us can serve like Paul. But even just to give a cup of water to the saints in the church, helping someone in their difficulties, encouraging someone in their stressful time. If you are able to do that because you knew that they are the children of God, the body of Christ, if you're willing to do that for the Lord, not for any selfish ambitions, then when you come to that last part of your life and you look back and you say, praise the Lord, were you able to say that I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith? Brother and sister, if you have never spent any time at all sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, talking to Him, loving Him, enjoying Him, then I don't think you will really enjoy in heaven spending time with Him, because it has to be a continuation. Heaven should be a continuation of your life right now. Lord Jesus said, I'll give you life, and life more abundantly. And that abundant life is to be enjoyed right now, not in heaven. If you have never sat at the feet of Jesus, you will never reign with Him on His throne. The two are related. So we saw in David, in Mary, in Paul, there was one thing that driven their life, captured their hearts. They are willing to pour out for the Lord because of that one thing. Now I want you to look at your own life and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that has put you first? Are you the rock of my life that I need to lay down first in that jar before it got filled up with other things? I hope that you will go back and think about this, and really pray before the Lord and challenge yourself and think, Lord, I do not want to live like this for the rest of my life. I want to be able to serve You. I want to be able to love You. I want to be able to pour out what I have for You, so that there will be no regrets when I come to the end of my life on this earth. So when I met Paul, and I met David, and I met Mary, there will be a lot of things I can talk to them about. Let's hope so. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the wonderful example set for us by David and Mary and Paul and many others. They are the crowd of witnesses that surrounded us, that there is so much we can learn from them. Lord, all these dear things in the scripture, and some dear things who have passed away into eternity in our midst as well, with all our brother D.W.'s son and brother Timothy's son, brother Ding and brother Michael, and all those lovely brothers and sisters who have served you for a large part of their life. We thank you, Lord, for these testimonies, for these wonderful brothers and sisters who encourage us so much. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we ourselves may be used by you, that we may also become an inspiration and be the encourager of others to really take up that love of you and to really let that drive their life. So Lord Jesus, we pray that, Lord, you will speak to us and continue to work in us and won't let us go until you achieve what you want to achieve. I pray in your most precious name. Amen.